Hungry soul. Pastor George.
Amen. Hallelujah. Can we give God another praise in this place? He's been that good and that kind to us all. What an awesome and mighty God we serve. So good to see all y'all beautiful faces in here today. Thank y'all for weathering the Indianapolis 500. Amen. Pushing y'all way through to make sure you came to get some worship and get a word today. I believe God honors when we give extra and when we push extra to make sure we get what we need from Him. Amen. Can we all stand and rise for the reading of God's word? If you're able, God has blessed you with two good legs, because it could be another way, amen, that we stand and read for God's word. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, and it reads as follows. Therefore, Jeremiah, go and warn all Judah and Jerusalem. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. I am planning disaster for you instead of good. So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and do what is right. But the people replied, don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want to, stubbornly following our own evil desires. Today's message will be God's Plan, Part 1. Intentional disobedience. Intentional disobedience. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're still in our series, He's Intentional, amen. And truth be told, I got to share this with y'all before I get started, that I had another message. That I already knew what I was going to preach. I knew what I was going to do. And then God said, no.
That's it.
He said, I need you to preach something else. Because what I was going to preach was dealing with this on the back end. But He said, nah, they got to understand where you're coming from.
Come on.
They need to understand what I did and how I work and how I operate. And just like anybody else, we want y'all to be obedient. Guess what? We got to listen to God too.
That's it.
And God said, look, today I'm letting y'all know now, I'm not looking for no amens. Amen. We get that amen right now. I ain't expecting too many amens. If I get them, great. And if I don't, oh well, because I got to do what thus saith the Lord.
Yeah, deliver the word.
Last week I gave you homework. Did anybody remember what the homework was?
Read what?
Anybody remember? I want to encourage you in this season of your life. Thank you. Danielle's going to her phone. I don't care if it's a pen or paper. We got note section in our phones. Take notes. A long pencil is better than a short memory. Amen.
Jeremiah 18, 7 through 10.
7 through 10. Jeremiah 18, verses 7 through 10.
Yeah.
So God gave specific ramifications in those verses. And the end result, He said, wasn't set in stone. It all depended if you would repent, if you would return to me.
Yeah.
I can do something in your life. I can start over.
Yeah.
What I was planning don't really got to happen if you follow my need. He's on the cusp of blessing or destroying a nation. I know you, God be talking to him. Ultimately, the result lies in who chooses him and who's obedient to him. Jeremiah gave them a fire word, y'all. I preached about it last week. He gave them this amazing analogy, this magnificent metaphor of what God can do in your life. He said, look here, I'm the potter, you are the clay. I can rebuild you. I can reshape you. I can reinvent you. I can redo what you messed up. I can recreate. I can start over in your life. I am God. I can fix you up. Those beautiful pieces of pottery that you see at the potter's house. See, what you don't know is how many times He started over to make them beautiful.
Yeah.
You don't know that. You just see the end product. That's so that's why people tell you and look at you. You be like, dang, you don't like what you've been through. I know because God has started over on me so much.
Yeah.
And what you're seeing is an almost finished product.
Yeah.
But you wasn't there when I was in them trenches. Dirty as can be when I was down and out and didn't think nobody loved me. I could make it out. The potter has made me. But this is how it works when you allow God to submit. When you submit to God and give Him control, then the potter's will can be done in your life. So Jeremiah sends them all a warning. Look at this verse 12, what I just read. But the people replied, Don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want to, stubbornly following our own evil desires. Boy, I say it's hard for a pimp, it's hard for a preacher, amen. The people, he came with a word from God, and they said, look, don't waste your breath. We over here living good. We getting how we live. We doing what we want to do. Don't waste your breath. So God wanted me to show y'all, even in this day today, we got to be careful for the rise of the rebellion. The rise of the rebellion. The principle of rebellion is, I'll have my own way. And that's how we live in, y'all. And today, this is written so long ago, but today we are living in that. We were living in a way that we ain't even concerned about premarital sex anymore. Yeah. I don't even know if we even use the word abstinence anymore. Does our kids even know what abstinence means? Have we talked to them about that? Abstinence, keeping yourself abstaining. I get it. I wasn't abstinent. I get it. I had children out of wedlock. But guess what? Sometimes I think as parents, we feel because we messed up, we can't correct them. But that was a lie. It's a standard God said. It don't matter if I messed up. This is what God says. This is how it works. If you want to be blessed, do it a certain way so you will be blessed. Rebellion, adultery, running wild. There's no more honor in marriage. We see divorce happening time and time, going crazy in our society. Got sneaky links. Nobody staying with the same person. That the two people that's been sneaking around, they get married. That's crazy. It's just a mess. The rise of the rebellion. These cell phones. Our children are addicted to them. Addicted to them. And the devil can get to them anytime he want with all kind of nasty stuff, all kind of messing from people, from predators. Parents, check your kids' phones. We didn't live in that era where we can do whatever we want to do. No, we can just talk to people any kind of way. You don't know what those people are speaking to their life. You don't know how that friend is, the household that they are raised, what they're allowed to get away with, and what they can put on your children. It's a rise of a rebellion. We are in a time where people identify with whatever they want to do.
Yes.
It's crazy. I seen a grown man says, I'm going to identify as a baby now. So I want to hire me a nanny. A grown man, I identify as a baby now because I want to hire me a nanny. I seen a Caucasian woman that says, I want to identify as a black female now because I feel black. But the question poses is, we get upset when a man says, I want to identify as a woman, but how can you say no to him, but yes to that? But where do you draw the line? We're living in the rise of a rebellion. Shared this with my kid, a 14-year-old girl in Prince George County. She put a hit out on a boy on her bus. A 14-year-old girl had three teenagers come and get on the bus with guns, hold this boy down, one put the gun to his chest and fired.
Jesus. My God.
Grace of God, the gun jam.
Wow.
Grace of God.
My God.
So now this girl's 14, these other boys that all get charged as adults as attempted murder.
Jesus.
What are we doing? Why are you at 14? You're supposed to be thinking about high school.
That's it.
Maybe what you're going to your eighth grade dance in.
Yeah.
Why are you worried about killing somebody?
But
our children are so far off because we've gotten so far off.
Yeah.
It's a rise of a rebellion. Look at Jeremiah 18 and 15, y'all. And I'm going to say this at the beginning. We're going through 18 through 21. I'm not doing every verse, so please go and read Jeremiah chapters 18 through 21 to get the full context of everything. But he says this in verse 15. But my people are not so reliable, for they have deserted me. They burn incense to worthless idols. They have stumbled off the ancient ways and walked in muddy paths. God says, my people aren't reliable. Ain't that deep? Ain't it a trip how we can go from, watch this, desiring God to deserting God? Woo, ain't that a trip? We can go from, God, I love you, God. I want to be in your midst. I want to be in your presence.
Yeah.
I need you. Then we get over here. We've deserted God. I ain't picked up my Bible in a year. I don't know the last time I prayed. Definitely know the last time I went to a worship service. My people aren't reliable. See, God ain't looking for perfect people. We're looking for reliable people.
Yeah.
He looking for people that's going to stick with me through thick and thin. He looking for people that's going to say, what, hell or high water, God, I know you my way, you my lifeline, you are what I need, and I don't care how crazy this world get, I don't care how bad it get, I don't care what I'm going through, the pain, I'm sticking with you.
That's good.
He says, they're burning incense to worthless idols, ancient highways, and walking in muddy paths. So God is saying, look here, I'm sorry, I don't want to walk in no muddy paths. I had a pair of Jordans that I liked, and I was at work one day, and I was walking this trail at work, and it had rained, but I thought I was cool, I was going to stay on the trail, and I got all the way out on the trail, and it was all covered in mud. So much so that I tried to walk around it, and my shoe came off. Now I'm in socks in mud. I was one of the worst days at work. I was so mad. Jordans threw this trash, now I can't even wear them, they messed up, sway tore up. But the point is, I was walking in muddy paths. See, muddy paths like to keep you stuck. Muddy paths like to keep you there. And if you make it out of the muddy path, it's going to make sure you look a mess. And that's what the enemy is doing, making sure, getting us caught up in muddy paths. So when we finally get out of it, we look like a mess. People say, where your God at? I thought you loved your God. And we look in a mess. See, if we don't deal with the intentional disobedience, we're going to have this, self-inflicted struggles.
Ooh,
Jesus. Self-inflicted. I'm sorry. Ain't nothing worse than shooting your own self in the foot. Ain't nothing worse than when you are the cause of your own pain. Ain't nothing worse when I know it's my fault, I shouldn't have did it, and it's my fault. I ain't got nobody to blame. I ain't got nobody to cry to. I ain't got nobody nothing. It's my fault. I'm stuck in it. That's the worst kind of pain to experience. I know the Negro wasn't no good. I still mess with him anyway. Now I'm over here crying. I'm upset. My life is jacked up. I'm dealing with this stuff because it's self-inflicted. He says self-inflicted struggles are going to hurt us. Look at this. Jeremiah 18 and 18, y'all. The people said, come on. Let's plot a way to stop Jeremiah. We have plenty of priests and wise men and prophets. We don't need him to teach the word and give us advice and prophecy. Let's spread rumors about him and ignore what he says.
Ooh.
Do you see how the rebellion has gotten so much in them? They fighting against God. God sent Jeremiah, ordained him a prophet. We talked about that in week one, to give his people a word. And they say, look here, we got plenty of priests. We got plenty of wise men. We don't need what Jeremiah got. Matter of fact, let's spread rumors about him. Woo. It's hard out here for a pastor. Amen. Jeremiah said this in the book of Jeremiah. He says, God will give you pastors according to your heart. To my heart is what God says. I'm going to give you a pastor according to my heart. So he anoints a pastor to help you to hear what God is saying, to give you instruction, to give you wisdom, to give you knowledge, all these things to help you live a godly life so you don't pull away from God. But if you don't want to hear that, you can go eat whatever you want to eat. The rise of the rebellion. Because I come to find out that most people don't want to be pastored. Because if you give your true heart, honest to God opinion, and it don't agree with them, you might not see them no more.
Yeah.
If you tell them what thus saith the Lord, because that's what you're going to get here. If you want to be counseled, invite me into your counseling. And don't want to hear my opinion. Just keep hearing me preaching on Sunday. Don't invite me into your counseling and ask me what you want and what you think you should do. And I'm going to, I can't sugarcoat it. I ain't going to say nothing different. This is what God said. And most people don't want that. Look at what he's telling them. We don't want to hear that. Let's go find these other people. And let's spread rumors. Because we don't want to hear what Jeremiah says. Wow. See, Jeremiah, he prays for his enemies, y'all. This is why I want y'all to read, because we talk about Jesus. Jesus says, pray for your enemies. Love your enemies.
Yeah.
This Old Testament. Yeah, this old. This had the same. That's Jesus. That's grace. Yeah. Jeremiah says, God, kill them. Yeah, make them childless. God, take them out of here. Destroy all of them. He said, get rid of them.
Yeah.
Because they rebellion. They acting a fool. They lying on me. Jeremiah wasn't trying to play with them. And see, we forget how good we got it under grace.
Yeah, right there.
See, we forget how good and how merciful God is.
Right there.
that he wants us to pray for our enemies and love those who curse you and persecute you and all that. He's trying, God changed the way through Jesus to give us his spirit and his heart, but that's not the Old Testament. Look at verse 19 and 1. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and buy a clay jar. Then ask some of the leaders of the people and of the priests to follow you. Man. So look at Jeremiah. God spoke, and again, I love this. God is always speaking to Jeremiah. God went from him the possibility. Watch this. The possibility of what Israel could be. He brought them to the potter's wheel and said, y'all can start over. I can make you into what you want to be. I can do that. God took them from the possibility to, watch this, to the purchasing of a jar. Why is that significant, Pastor? Because if a jar is purchased, it represents the clay already at its permanent state. Ooh. So the clay is finished now. God said, I wanted to show y'all what I can do with you and make you into more than you thought you was. See, I know you thought you was nothing. I know you thought wouldn't nobody ever be there for you. I know you thought you was lowly. I know you thought you could never do anything, but I can help you. I can build you up. I can make you into more. I can blow your mind. But since you don't want that, go and buy a finished product, a piece of clay, a jar that's already done. See, God is showing them that destruction is coming. He's showing them by purchasing something that their fate is sealed. It's permanent now.
Yeah.
Look at this, y'all. Verse 4 and 5. For Israel has forsaken me and turned this valley into a place of wickedness. They burn incense to foreign gods, idols never before acknowledged by this generation, by their ancestors, or by the kings of Judah.
Wow.
And they have filled this place with the blood of innocent children. They have built pagan shrines to Baal, and there they burn their sons as sacrifice to Baal. I have never commanded such a horrible deed. It never crossed my mind to command such a thing. My God, my God.
My God, that's deep.
Ooh. Whew. God's chosen people, who he picked to represent his name well, is in a valley of wickedness.
Wow.
They're in a valley, which means they're in their position. They're loving their wickedness. They're burning incense to foreign gods. It said, never before acknowledged by this generation, by their ancestors, or the kings of Judah. And I come to find out, just like they tripping, we tripping too. Yeah, just like they lost their way, I feel we lost our way too.
Yeah.
It's a generation of young people that are not concerned about the things of God. Yeah, they know every rap song. They know every video. They know every video game. They know every TikTok dance. They know so much, but they not concerned about the things of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Could it be because some parents were so fed up that they had to go to church?
Come on.
Could it be some parents were so fed up that they went to church so much as a youth, they said, you know what, when I get kids, I'm not taking my kids to church like that.
Nah,
they not going to church like that. I ain't got time to do all that. Mama and daddy have me there every day, three times a week. We not doing that. No. And what you realize is that your parents built something up in you.
That's it right there.
And what you don't realize, that all that vacation Bible story, even like I said, we didn't go to church all the time, but we did go. And I thank God for the foundation that did have in me, Mama, the little bit, the Jesus that I didn't know at that time. Because I know I wouldn't be here if I didn't know him at all. So since we don't want to take our kids to church, we let them do everything else, play sports, do this, go dance, do everything else. It's a gap that's not being met right now.
See,
we got to get back to the kids. You ain't got no choice.
Yeah.
When did we start giving kids options? When did we start giving kids options? What they pay? Who
that
feed
part,
them?
That part.
Who clothe them? Who take care of them?
On,
who drive them around? And I'm going to let you do everything else and give you an option with God?
Come on. My God.
When the devil's handing out options day in and day out,
Jesus.
All kind of options that sound way better and sound a lot more fun.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
See, he said, look here, it's a gap. That's what God was telling me. It's a gap. And these things have never been seen before in this generation. So this is what happens. You raised up in God, and your life breaks down eventually. But you got something in you.
Yeah.
Train up a child the way they should go. When they get old, they won't depart. So because you got that training, when life breaking down, you know how to go pray.
My God.
When life breaking down, you know how to go find the word. When life breaking down, you say, I'm going to somebody's church. God getting on me. I need to get it together. You feel that, but guess what? Because we neglect our children, they don't have that. So now they 14, 15, 16, 18, 20, and now life is beating them up, and what should be familiar to them is now foreign. When they know I ought to go and pray, and Jesus can work it out, he can do anything, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, they go, maybe I got to go smoke a blunt. When they dealing with life and it's crushing them, maybe I need to take a Percocet so I can get rid of this pain that I'm feeling right now for a little minute, and then it comes back, and I'm back at square one. We got to understand what God is saying, doing. It's two pictures behind me, y'all, and I want y'all to understand this is important. The top is Baal worship. Say Baal worship. Do y'all know how you ever heard of Baal, the God of Baal we're talking about right here? So look what Baal's doing. The parents would take their children and put them in the hands of Baal, that deity that's behind me. It's a man with an animal face, a man body with an animal face. They would take their children and put them in the hands of Baal. And they would set a fire under Baal's hands. So while the children are in his hands, they're being set on fire, literally, right there before them. And you see people in the back playing music. You see the drums. Because it's there to drown out the sound of the screaming children. Woo. Right there, drums being played in the back. See, they were sacrificing their children for individual or communal wealth. Putting my needs above my kids. I know what I need, so it doesn't matter. I know what I want, so I'm going to give up this. And you cannot tell me this same spirit is not with us today. We might not be offering idols, but abortion is running wild in this country. Think about that. Offering up, getting rid of children because of what I want to do. We got to be careful, y'all. It's dangerous out here. They use music to drown out the crying of our babies. And music is a controller. Y'all see Ja Morant? Let's be for real. He didn't start tripping until NBA Youngboy came on. People that are out here killing, we see the news, somebody's killing day in, day out. I guarantee they're not listening to John B. Key on the way to the drive-by. I guarantee that. I guarantee they're not listening to Kirk Franklin before they go kill somebody. I know that for a fact, because it doesn't promote that. That spirit doesn't invoke that in you. But because our children are so inclined to the music. No, I got kids too, and guess what? I grew up. I'm looking at my kids laughing because, hey, pray for us. Amen. Amen. Homie, she know all the words, all the lyrics. Amen. And I didn't pass that on. Pray for me. I didn't pass that on. All my kids like to rap, and I didn't pass it all the way down. So I'll be like, what the world? But you got to be there to show them what's right and what's wrong. Why that doesn't fit who you are. Be careful what you say, because death and life is in the power of the tongue.
It's real.
Be careful. And the picture under Baal, y'all. The picture under Baal, look at that. This bottom picture is from the largest Satan temple in America, in Detroit. Yeah, Satan temple.
Wow.
In America, in Detroit. And what does he have looking at him? Children. Because if I can control the children, I can control the generation. If I get hold of the children and shape and mold their minds, all they're going to do is pass it on to their children. And the enemy is so conniving at doing this. He does it, especially, I think, about music. In our day, Bone Thugs and Harmony, praise God. Bone Thugs, hey, we're some devil worshipers. Hey, talking to the Ouija board, that's not of God. Ouija, all that stuff, that's not of God. Snoop Dogg, Murder Was the Case, a song about him selling his soul to the devil. See, what I know about the enemy is what he does is this, is that he tries to push the limits to see what we're going to accept. He keeps pushing the limit to see, okay, when are they going to accept it so I can go ahead to my next plan? See, it started off with the same artists that we had in our day, and then we see Lil Nas X and Lil Uzi Vert and The Weeknd and all these other people that do things that promote Satan, but we had it in our day too. It just wasn't as blatant. But the enemy been pushing it. I know a lot of y'all seen what happened at Target. Y'all seen Target? The clothes.
Yeah.
Not only did they have clothes for kids promoting pride, but they had some promoting Satan. They lost millions of dollars. Had to take away the clothes because the enemy tried to see what they're going to accept. I'm going to keep pushing my agenda to see what they accept. Watch what I tell you. It's going to go away. It's going to come back about 5-6 years later. He's going to try it again and keep pushing it to see when they're going to finally let my foot in the door. Yeah. Why is a Satan shirt in the children's section? Because if I can shape the minds of the children, if I can get a selfish parent to say, you know what, we're going to represent whatever, and this is, we don't care, we love everybody. It ain't about loving everybody.
Yeah, right.
Just because I love you don't mean I agree with you. Mm-hmm. That's not love.
Man.
I love my children. I love Daniel, he's 13. Think about to let him drive because he's 13? I'm thinking about to give him the keys to the car today and let him drive?
Yeah.
No, just because I love you does not mean I don't agree with you.
But
if we're going to be victorious in this life, y'all, we have to know how to fight our enemy. We got to know the tricks of the enemy. Amen. So he said they're burning incense. And I want to help some people today, my Christians. Burning sage is demonic. Amen. I want to help you. Amen. If you don't know that now, burning sage is demonic. It's not of God. You can't burn sage and pray. Don't work like that. It doesn't work. And I hope I'm here to help you today and show you in Scripture. Because a lot of Christians don't see nothing wrong with it. They burn sage and pray. But you got to be careful of sending up a foul smell to God.
Yeah.
God looking for sweet aromas. And putting sage and prayer together ain't a sweet aroma to God. It's not. It don't smell good to God. So because the enemy, think about this. He was kicked out of heaven. So what does he know? He know what real worship looks like. He know what authentic worship looks like. He know what it looks like for angels to be in the presence of God, bow before him. He knows all that. So all the enemy does, he's a copycat. He know he can't do what God does, so he just try to do it in another way. That's all he does. That's why he got us. People with tarot cards, and they try to read your future, and they got on incense burning in the background. Burn this incense and burn that, and that'll clean your house. Nah, I'm good. Repent cleans my house. I plead the blood of Jesus cleans my house. Living right will clean my house. Praying, laying hands on, that's what cleans my house. I don't need none of that stuff. No. We got to be careful because this world is trying to mix everything together. Because the Satan knows if I can get you into some false worship with God, look at the people. These are God's people, but they're burning all kind of incense to worthless idols.
My God.
So the devil takes what God has already created, and then he says, look here, because I'm a copycat, I don't have the ability to create.
Yeah.
I'm mad because I can't create. So the only thing I can do is corrupt. Or defile it.
Wow.
That's the only thing. To get my image on people, I have to corrupt them. I have to take them out of the image of God, which they were created, and make them into my image. And the way to do that is to corrupt them or make them defile themselves.
Help us.
So let's look at the burning of incense in the tabernacle. God commanded Moses to burn incense. It can be found in Exodus 30. A couple of scriptures, y'all. Rush this. Exodus 30, this is God talking to Moses, giving him the instruction of the incense. Do not offer any unholy incense on this altar, or any burnt offerings, grain offerings, or liquid offerings. So God was very particular on what kind of incense can come from him. Yeah, he was even down to the what kind of wood you can use, the measurements of the wood. God is very specific. You can't. But I'm trying to tell you, you can't worship God how you want to worship God. You don't get to pick and choose how you worship God. You don't get to say, well, God, this is how I am today. You want to accept me how I am? God, this is what I'm doing. No. God is very specific on how he is to be worshipped because he's God. Look at this, 30:37. Never use this formula to make incense for yourselves. It is reserved for the Lord, and you must treat it as holy. God is telling Moses, who gives the instruction to Aaron, Moses' brother, who is a Levite, who is the first priest. This is how it has to go.
Yeah.
You got to do incense this way.
Yeah.
And watch this. I'm going to help somebody today. And Aaron has sons. He has a couple sons. So they're Levites. Their father is the first priest. So naturally, they come behind him to be priests. But guess what? They got the same instructions. Moses lined them all up. He ordained all of them. He put them in their priestly garments. All of them got the same instructions. But they said, I want to do it my way. They said, you know what, God? I'm going to do the incense like this. I know what Daddy said. I know what Uncle Moses said. But I'm going to do the incense like this. And God gave them a second to repent. God gave them some grace. But it got to a point, they came in the temple and lit up the incense how they wanted to. And it burned them to death. They died in the temple because they said, I want to worship God how I want to worship God. And I'm telling you now, that won't work. We all got to submit to him and his will.
That's it.
So the Old Testament, the priests were in charge of handling this incense, right? Now we in the New Testament, we got Jesus. He steps on the scene, our Redeemer, right? He becomes our high priest. The book of Hebrews says we have a high priest now. We have our own high priest who we don't have to have nobody go into the temple like they did. Jesus is our high priest now. So now his blood is the new covenant. So we traded the incense that the priests have in exchange for Jesus in our own prayers now.
Come on.
We've traded incense for prayers, okay? I'm sure. Revelation 8:34. Follow me. Then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar. I told you Satan knows what worship looks like. And a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. Our prayers mean something. Woo, God been dealing with me, y'all. Prayers mean something more than we actually know. If an angel says, I'm going to take this holy incense in heaven and then take the prayers of God's people and mix it together, and it's going to go up to the altar. Our prayers don't just go to the ceiling. They just don't go to the sky. They just don't go to the clouds. They go to God's altar.
Woo.
If I know my prayers are being heard by God, they are at his altar. My food is I cannot not pray. I got to make sure I'm always praying. The Bible says pray without ceasing. I got to make sure prayer is real and prayer is part of my life.
Real.
But we be tripping. Come on, we post-mode and we pray. Amen.
Say it again.
They won't talk to me. It's okay. God already told me. This ain't amen day. He already told me. We post more than we pray. That's deep, ain't it? We get on. We literally type out what's wrong. We type out what we're going through. We type out what we're dealing with. We type out our hearts broken to a people who can't do nothing about it. But when I can pray about it, it can get to heaven. God can hear it and already start working it out. And already start fixing it. And already start setting stuff up. And instead of doing that, we're going to tell people who can't do nothing.
That's good.
Woo! I don't have time to complain on nobody's app when I got a God who can concur all my problems. I don't. I don't have time to tweet about it when me and God can talk about it. I don't have time for none of that. I got to talk to the one who can really fix my problems and deal with me and my issues. I don't have time. And if I'm going to decide to tell somebody other than God, if that's what I'm going to choose to do, I'm going to tell somebody that can pray with me. I'm going to tell somebody that's going to agree with me. And now it ain't just my prayer going to his altar. It's their prayer too. I'm telling people that can pray, not people that can give me their advice, not people that can give me their problems, not people that don't care, not people that have no connection to God. I need to talk to people so when my prayers are going up, their prayers are too. This is why intercession is so important. This is why God puts it on your heart to pray for people. This is why God puts you in a position to pray for others to help them out. Imagine if we all start praying, God, this murder spirit in Indianapolis got to go. This murder spirit has got to go. This attack.
our youth has got to go. If the saints come together and pray and bombard heaven, and now the angels are just grabbing prayers and pouring over incense, imagine what God can do. It ain't that God can't do it. But why do we expect God to do something when the prayers ain't reaching his altar? Why do we expect him to do something when he ain't getting the prayers? See, if I would have taken my time to pray, sometimes that mess I got in, I wouldn't never have got into it. Yeah, if I took some time to pray, some of the stuff that I got into, it never would have been a part of my life. See, God says this. You got to pray. See, pray is to prepare.
Yeah,
to pray about something before you actually do it is to prepare.
Yeah.
So we're going to pre-pray. You ought to pre-pray. Amen. Pray before, not afterwards.
Not
after you already made your decision.
Come on,
not after you didn't did what you didn't did.
Come on.
Not after you didn't lie, cheat, stole, whatever you didn't did. Then try, God, have mercy. Only prayer you got is, God, have mercy. I pray, God, help me not to deal with all the repercussions of what I did. Instead of, God, give me the strength and the wisdom to stay away from this. God, open my eyes. God, bring the right people around. They not for me. Move them, God. Get me away from this person. Block this person. Block that. God, I need you to block some stuff. I need you to keep some stuff away from me so I can be who you call me to be. I don't want these distractions no more. We got to learn to pre-pray. It's to prepare for what God has for you. So the jar that God instructed Jeremiah to purchase, y'all. Going back to that, he said, go purchase a jar and bring all the priests and leaders with you. God said, bring these men with you and then let them watch you smash the jar. God told Jeremiah, go buy the jar. Take it. Take the jar. Take it. Bring all the leaders with you and then smash it in front of them. So they can see this. That all their lives have been shattered. God said, well, y'all gotta read the text. I ain't got time to do every verse in there. He says, look here, I will shatter the people of Jerusalem and Judah. This ain't a heathen nation. This is God's people.
Right.
I will shatter Jerusalem and Judah beyond all hope of repair. See, last week I told y'all I don't have a Humpty Dumpty praise, right? That God put me back together. But in this chapter right here, God's saying, it's going to be like Humpty Dumpty. I'm going to smash it beyond repair. And the only reason it's beyond repair is because they chose their own way instead of his way. So when you let God crush you and smash you, he puts you back together. When you let sin crush you and smash you, you might not get put back together. Amen. If I let sin crush me, it might be some stuff I got to deal with for the rest of my life. If I let sin crush me, I might not never be able to get rid of this thing. If I let sin, but if I let God do it, he can put it back together. See, they're false gods, y'all. They were worshiping star gods. And queens of heaven.
Yeah.
They were worshiping all kind of stuff. And it was just crazy out there.
Yes.
And it led them to a path, y'all, of permanent brokenness. See, when you're out here worshiping our idols and false gods, it's going to break you. Because we're wired to worship. God, think about how awesome God is. That even though Adam ate from the tree, and he knows that we were sinners, he set up a way to save us through his son Christ and all that. But he says, you know what? I put some things in you that you're going to know I'm real. You're going to feel me, even though you're in a fallen state. I'm not going to let the enemy have total control of you. I'm going to drop a conscience on you. You're going to still have a conscience because I'm going to give you a conscience so you can know the difference between right and wrong. Now, some people ignore their conscience. Pray for them. Amen. But God, all of us have a conscience. That's what the Bible says. Even a child is known by his doings.
Yeah,
I don't care if they're 3 years old. If they telling a lie, they're going to know they're telling a lie. They feel it.
Yeah.
They understand, even children. So God puts these things in us to help us not to get to this path of permanent brokenness.
Yeah.
Look at Jeremiah 20, y'all. First 1 and 2. now Pashur, son of Immer, the priest in charge of the temple of the Lord, heard what Jeremiah was prophesying. So he arrested Jeremiah, the prophet, and had him whipped and put in stocks at the Benjamin gate of the temple. My God. Woo. Wow. True is true. Woo. The price of telling the truth. It's hard out here for a pastor, y'all. Come on. He got whooped and put in jail.
Wow.
For telling the truth.
Wow.
See, what you got to understand is you got to appreciate when God puts you in a place where you won't twist the word of God up to make you feel comfortable. Because that's the land of the times we're living in.
Yeah.
That I can click a button and find somebody somewhere that makes me feel good all the time. That just puffs me up. I'm just happy church every day. We don't never talk about sin. We don't never talk about nothing. We in that era now. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Because we live in a fallen world. And last I checked, we all flesh.
Yeah.
And Paul said, nothing good dwells in my flesh. And until we get to heaven and get new glorified bodies, like Jesus said, we all going to have to deal with our flesh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't get to glorify our favorite sin. You like to fornicate? You can't do that. You can't do that. Fornicate, use my word. I don't have the babies in here, so I'm trying to work with me, please. Work with me. But you like to do that? Then you need to get married.
Yeah.
Point blank, period. You need to figure it out, either get married or abstain yourself.
Yes,
man.
It's no in between.
Yeah. Man.
You get married. You don't get to sleep around with other people. It's you and this person. If not, get single and abstain and keep yourself.
Period.
You don't get to mix and mingle. You got a problem with substance. You don't get to get controlled by no substance. You got to break free from that bondage.
Amen.
You love money. That's the root of all evil. You can't let it control you because you're going to make some bad decisions in this life because you love money.
Yeah.
Same thing. If you're in a romantic relationship with a person of the same gender, it's still sin too. All of it is sin. And what we got to be careful is not to glorify or sanctify our own sin. We live in dangerous times. Talk about rebellion.
Yeah.
And this is just real. We know, I talked about Target, that Pride Month is coming up next week. Pride Month across the nation. They're going to be parades. They're going to be rallies for people celebrating pride of the LGBTQ community and all that. And hear my heart, I have no hate, no disdain towards any of them. They're God's people. I want to see them saved. I want to see them delivered. Just like God bought me out of stuff, I want to see God bring them out of stuff. Because I know God can save anybody. I know God can heal anybody. I know God can deliver anybody. But what messes me up is that it's called Pride Month. When did God tell us to be prideful with our sin?
Come on, come
on. When did God say it's okay to be proud in sin? Is July going to be fornicator month? Sam President, no, they're laughing. August going to be hating every month? September addiction month? October adultery month? When does it stop? We don't get to glorify something because we're it's what we like to do. Or we don't get to make it holy because that's what we like to do. God said, be ye holy because I'm holy. God said that. Therefore, be ye holy because I'm holy, which means we all are struggling with something. We all have an affection for something.
Yeah.
And we got to let God lead us.
Yes, that's true.
See, it sounds foolish to say all that stuff, but we got to understand that our sin offends a holy God.
Yeah.
And if I don't understand that and have that disconnect, it's going to make me have pride in my sin instead of humility in being a sinner. In need of God's love and grace. So you got to read the rest of the chapter, y'all. But Pashur, who locked Jeremiah up, who beat him up, he finally releases Jeremiah. And Jeremiah begins to prophesy. He said, look, your name is now going to be a man of terror. You're a man of terror is who you're going to be. I need you to understand that because you did what you did, destruction come to your house. That all your family is going to be taken away. You're going to watch people die. Your enemies are going to rule over you. All your family is going to get swooped up and taken to Babylon. All your friends are going to get slaughtered. All the people you love are going to die, but your family is going to Babylon. I'm going to hand Judah over to Babylon. The king of Babylon is Nebuchadnezzar. And look what God says. He's going to take all the gold, all the jewels, and the rubies in the temple. This is Solomon's temple, y'all. This place, millions upon millions of dollars worth of gold, worth of jewelry, the most magnificent thing ever built. and God is going to let it get destroyed by his enemy. What, Pastor? Why would God do that? Because God don't care about our stuff. See, that because they had the temple of God and God dwelled with them and they had all this precious stuff in it, they thought it was an excuse instead of a reason to worship. See, what we do, well, God, I'm going to go to church. I know I'm over here doing whatever I want to do, but I go to church every Sunday. I should be good. God, I'm over here doing this, but I'm going to give my tithe. I'm going to make sure I paid you. I'm going to make sure I hooked you up. I'm good. See, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah, my God.
See, we like to sacrifice. We like to try to make a barter system right. with God.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I do this, I give you this.
Yeah.
And that ain't how God works. God said, I will let this whole temple go to trash.
Yeah.
I let Nebuchadnezzar, a dude that worship pagan gods, take everything. Take all the jewels, take all the gold, take all the people, because I don't want your stuff. I want your heart. We got to get to a place that we are giving God our heart. See, if God got your heart, he got everything else. But the people didn't understand that. They wanted to bargain with God. So look at this, y'all. I'm almost done. Verse 21 and 2. Please speak to the Lord for us and ask him to help us. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon is attacking Judah. Perhaps the Lord will be gracious and do a mighty miracle as he has done in the past.
Wow.
Perhaps he will force Nebuchadnezzar to withdraw his armies.
Wow.
So the same person that locked him up and put him in them stocks is the same person the king sent to go talk to. Amen. God got a sense of humor. Amen.
Yeah.
You thought you was big, bad, and bold because you had power. Now I'm going to send you humbly back to Jeremiah.
That's real.
And ask him, will God have to do a miracle?
Yeah.
Will God have mercy on us?
Yeah.
I can imagine Jeremiah's face. Oh, man of terror, you back? Man of terror, you with me? You locked me up, you back? Okay, I got you. Be careful how you treat people.
Yeah.
Especially people of God. Because now he got to come back humbly and ask Jeremiah, what thus saith the Lord?
Wow.
And he says, maybe, perhaps, God will do a miracle. Wow. And I want to help somebody today because miracles are amazing things and God does miracles. Mm-hmm. But need a miracle because you need a miracle. Yeah, catch this. Cool.
Yeah,
help you
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
Need a miracle because you need a miracle.
Yep.
Don't need a miracle because you're lazy.
Come on.
Don't spend all your money up and not work and then ask people to help you pay your rent or I need money for my life. You can spend all your money up. You ain't got nothing. I went gambling. I did everything I wanted to do. I got drugs. I did everything I wanted to do. Now I need your help. No, you need a miracle from God. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Don't let the doctor tell you got high blood pressure and you're going to keep eating fried chicken and sweet potatoes and yams and now, God, my health on the line. I need a miracle. No, we just need some discipline.
That's Jesus.
Need a miracle because you need a miracle.
Yeah.
Not because I'm lazy and not because I'm disobedient.
Yeah.
See, we've condensed miracles into it's supposed to happen all the time and miracles are once in a lifetime things. That God works out on our behalf, but because we messed up, we need God to make a miracle
all the time.
Miracles don't happen every month.
Yeah.
Miracles don't happen every week. They happen once in a lifetime. So this person is asking for a miracle. Maybe God will pull back the armies of Nebuchadnezzar when they've been sinning like crazy. They've been worshiping false idols. They told Jeremiah, I won't listen to you. They said, we're going to live how we want to live. We're going to offer up all these sacrifices. We're going to put our children to bed. We're going to go to the star god, the queen of heaven. We're going to do everything we want to do. And then ask God to let us reap in mercy.
My God.
Ooh, have mercy on the church if we ever adapt that kind of mind frame. Jeremiah 21:5. I myself, this is God talking, will fight against you. With a strong hand and a powerful arm.
Wow.
For I am furious. Sorry, I am very angry. For you have made me furious.
Wow.
See, we don't like to talk about God getting mad. We don't like to think about that. God can't be mad. God love me. He can't be mad at me. Mm-hmm. I'm God's favorite. I am a friend of God, right? We sing songs. And God can't be mad at me. But if you look at even Revelation, you see Jesus, when they go to see him, his eyes are flaming fire. Why is his eyes look like fire? Because he's mad.
Yeah.
I've given you life. Life eternally and abundantly. And you didn't squander it doing whatever you wanted to do. Now I got to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I should have to say that to you because I came to save you. I myself will fight against you. You know what's dangerous about God fighting against you? See, if the devil fighting against me, I got God got my back. If enemies around me are fighting against me,
yeah,
I can call on God to come help me. But when God fighting against me, who you calling? Where your backup? Who's going to help you when you got to fight against God? He said, I have put my hand, I will fight against you. They have messed up so bad that God has fought against them. But thank God for God's plan.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Because he said something from 21 and 8. This is it, y'all. He said, tell all the people, this is what says the Lord. Take your choice of life or death. So Jeremiah said, look here, y'all messed up beyond messing up. King Nebuchadnezzar coming. I don't care what y'all want to do. Y'all can't stop it. He coming to take everything. He's taking the temple. But this is what I got for you. You can either stay here and die. Because he going to kill. He coming in. This is so deep. God sending somebody in that don't know him. So God has mercy. When the enemy comes, there's no mercy. So somebody's coming in that has no mercy. So you can stay here and try to fight against what I'm saying and die. Or you can choose life and just go ahead and go into captivity. Go ahead and let him take you to Babylon. At least you're going to have your life.
Yeah.
At least you're going to live. See, that's great. We don't see grace in God in the Old Testament. That's grace. Because God said, I'm fighting against you. I will destroy you. I'm crushing everything. But I'm still giving you an opportunity to live.
Yeah.
Take to all the people.
Thank
your choice.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I know I'm giving you some punishment right now. It doesn't have to be permanent.
No.
I'm still giving you an opportunity to make it right. Even though I know you don't want to go to captivity. Even though I know you don't want to go and be ruled by people that don't know me. I know it's going to be hard because I'm God. It's going to be some tough times ahead of you. But you can still have me if you choose.
That's good.
And that's the dilemma all of us are in. And being part of God's plan, we're going to have to make a choice. You got to praise him here today. Literally, God wouldn't let me preach what I wanted to preach. Because he told me, you got to raise up soldiers, man. This world is changing. It's going to be, the Bible says this. You play music. The day is coming that the very elect will be deceived. Could be deceived. Which means people that know God, know his word. The enemy about to come so conniving and so sneaky that even them might fall away. The Bible says a great falling away is coming. I said the great falling away in America is already here. The animosity we receive as Christians, the hate we receive. And God is saying, look here, you're going to have to make a choice. You either going to follow me or you're going to follow Baal. You either going to follow me or follow the ways of this world. But you got to make a choice. You might not understand my plans and you might not understand my ways, but know that I always have your best interest in heart. That I love you more than you ever can imagine.
Thank you, God.
That I've loved you from before you was in your mother's womb, I created you. I've always loved you. If I knew you before you was in your mother's womb, that means I knew you were in heaven with me. I already knew who you was and what you was going to be. I knew you. Come to me. So if you need to be saved, you need to give your life to Christ first, call. You need to be saved. Give your life to Christ. I don't know how else I can say it or how I can put it. If you need to be saved, give your life to Christ because Jesus loves you and he died for you. And you don't have to fight this word alone. Choose life. Secondly, if you are saved, maybe you're looking for a church home. We would love to have you. If you're saved, say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know Christ. But I just need a body to belong to. We would love to have you and encourage you in the Lord to lift you up and help you be what God has called you to be. And maybe you are saved and you just want to rededicate your life back to Christ and say, yeah, I've been out the loop, but I need to get back to where I need to be. I've been following the wrong path for a while, and I need to get back where God needs me to be. I don't know where you are in any of that. Or maybe you need special prayer. I don't know. Whatever you stand in need of today, I'm just going to say like I always say, don't go back home the same way you came in. If you came in here with a broken heart, you should not, you're not going to go back home with a broken heart. If you came in here with no hope, you shouldn't be going back home with no hope. If you came in here feeling defeated, you better not go back home feeling defeated. God is a healer. He's a deliverer. He is all that. But we got to choose life. So if anyone stands in need of anything that I said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We gotta give God more. This song is not, this is a real song. We gotta learn to give God more. I mean more. Think about what you're doing now and then give God more. Think about what you're doing now and say, God, I gotta give you more because you're deserving of it. I gotta give you some more time. I gotta give you some more prayer. I need to read your word some more. I gotta give out some more love to my enemies. I gotta give out more forgiveness. I'm not gonna let this world entrap me into what it think I should be. No, I'm gonna be who God called me to be, who he said I was. So if you stay in the need of a special prayer, the salvation, whatever he stands in the need of, amen. Amen. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Whatever it is, amen. Y'all know we don't stretch out altar call, but I just told you where our prayers go. Our prayers are going to the throne of God, that we believe in God and seeing what we're saying. And we're going to the throne of God today, believing God to do something, whatever we stand in the need of. If that is you, if you need that. Woo, God, we need you now more than ever before. Our children need you. Our city, our state, our church, we need you, God. It is so much. Too much for us to carry. Too much for us to carry. God said, quit carrying out. You were never meant to carry all that on your own. You never meant. It is me. I am there to help you. I am Jehovah. I am Yahweh. I am Elohim. I am your God. I am there to help you along the way. But somehow we start doing it on our own, and now we feel that weight, that heaviness. God said, just give me more. Give it to me and watch what I do. Amen. Amen. I know we've been here longer than usual. Amen. But I had to do what God told me to do. If it's anybody else, I don't want to. If anybody else, amen, I don't want to miss you. If you feel whatever you need from God before we pray out and pray with these individuals, if you need something from God, if you need something from God, do not leave it. Amen. Y'all should be more excited than that for me. Amen. But if you need something from God, if you need something from God, bless your babies. I love it. Our young people, amen, this is the next generation. We got to give them all what they need. They going to need God. Mom and daddy ain't going to be here forever. They going to need God. They going to need some fine peace. When there come a time they can't talk to us, they going to need that peace and that consoling. Amen, amen. If it's anybody else, as we get ready to pray, y'all, we about to go to the throne. And if you're still sitting out there, I need you to pray. Amen. Our prayers hit heaven. Amen. Our prayers go up. Amen. To heaven. So we're going to pray. Amen. And we're going to trust God that God's going to do what we call, what we need him to do, oh God. And we're not going to, it's not about our time, and it's about what God is doing. It's not our timing. It's about what God is doing. And we're going to trust God. And we're going to believe God. And we're going to honor God. We want to give God more. We're gonna hold on to God's unchanging hands. Amen. We're gonna hold on to God's unchanging hands and what he's doing and what he needs to do. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. As we're getting the requests, just stay with us in a moment. Amen.
my prayer warriors, please be out there praying. We want to break some things today, amen. Jesus. I'm going to lay hands and we're going to pray as we're getting ready to start it. Just want to hear from God, amen. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you.